This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Right, time to catch up with one of the nation's most loved comedy actors. John Challis is coming to Halton very soon. Of course, we know him from a lot of different series, Zcast, Doctor Who's, Coronation Street, but of course, Only Fools and Horses takes pride of place. Let's have a chat now. Morning to you, John.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Very good, thank you. That's fair enough to say, isn't it? Yeah, I don't want to say your life's been defined by Only Fools and Horses, but it's certainly been a little bit monopolised by it.
Yeah, it certainly has, yes. I was thinking back the other day, thinking, my God, I've been sort of 55 years in the business or something, you know, which seems incredible, really. Writing an autobiography as well. You think back on your life, you know, and you think, my God, the stuff I've done and been involved in over that time. And yet, as you say, that was the break. I suppose everybody talks about getting a break, you know, and I suppose the break really was once getting that part in Only Fools and Horses. No idea it was going to go on so long, but here we are all these years later still talking about it. It's just amazing.
Well, no idea how popular it would be either. So
it
was Boise. What was the first contact you had with the show's producers that, you know, gave you an idea about what Only Fools and Horses would be?
Well, it was a series of coincidences, really, how I got into it. Because I did a part on a show called Citizen Smith, starring the wonderful Robert Lindsay, which was John Sullivan, the writer's first sort of hit series. And I just did one episode as a sort of bent policeman, and I endowed him with this voice which I nicked off somebody I used to know in a pub in London in the old days. Oh, you had this way of talking, we're on a pedantic line,
yeah.
Like this, you know. Because I always fascinated by the way people speak. And John Sullivan said he liked that, and he said he's going to try and use it again one day, and never thought anything more about it. But a year later, you know, the script came in, and it was a little cameo role with a second-hand car dealer in a new comedy called Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, but Boise's voice defines him, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does. I had no idea at the time. I was just thinking, I played a lot of policemen, you know, and I just wanted to do something different, you know, and I just remembered this guy and his sort of superior attitude, and I thought it would go quite well with this particular policeman. And so it's a lucky thing to have happened, really.
There are some shows that are comedy genius, so yeah, might be Blackadder, might be Fawlty Towers, and Only Fools and Horses is one of those. What is it that made it so perfect?
Well, I have to say John Sullivan's writing, you know, which to me, it was sort of, I suppose it's apogee, it was in the 80s, you know, that's when it was really at its best. And he just wrote all these characters which everybody recognised. I mean, there was one everywhere you went, didn't realise it at the time. But every town, had every city, every village had his Del Boy, had his Trigger, had his Boise, you know, and he was very good at identifying those types. And not only did he write great jokes, you know, he loved jokes, John Sullivan. But he's a lot of his main thrust was about people's lives. You know, he was a family man. He was a passionate family man from South London. Well, originally from Ireland, I think, but finished up in South London. And he felt very deeply about people's problems, you know, and problems they were having. And he wrote about them. And made you smile about them, you know. And I think the key to it was that he made everybody feel better, because everybody goes through hard times, you know. But he just had his magic twist to make people think, "Ah, it's not so bad," you know. And gave people that little push just to sort of get beyond it and carry on, you know. And of course, we were delighted with it because it was so funny. I mean, on the surface, it was just so funny. So the jokes were brilliant and. Politically incorrect a lot of the time. It's quite a chauvinist series, you know, really, to begin with. But I mean, they're harmless. You know, there was absolutely no harm given to anyone. Everybody seems so sensitive these days. But in those days, everybody just laughed along, you know. But it didn't matter where you came from, what colour you were, and what gender you were. This buzzword we got at the most, gender. I mean, John Sullivan, if he'd still been around, would be laughing his head off at all the stuff that's going on at the moment. But as I say, it people just identified with it, you know, and people from all walks of life too, not just people market traders from South London, but but also people from from higher up the social scale, if I can call it that. You know, they thought it was frightfully funny, and yes, it reminds me of the guy who comes around and catches all the rats in my farm, you know, and all this sort of thing. But so right across the board, and it won't be repeated. I think it was a phenomenon.
Right? Did it feel a little bit ahead of its time? It was 1981, wasn't it, when it got going?
81, yes. Well, it certainly was for me. I'd never read anything like it or seen anything quite like it. I mean, I'd grown up with Fawlty Towers and Porridge and all this, and I loved the old comedy stuff, you know. And it was a progression from there, I suppose, because there was a lot more about real life from it, a lot more depth and emotion to it. And things have progressed, you know, further since then, for better for worse, you know. But it was just sort of a bridge from that old style comedy to the modern days, you know, I think. And John Sullivan, I mean, he passed away, about 6 or 7 years ago now. I think he'd be fascinated by what's happening, but sort of struggling to keep up with it, you know, and trying to write the right stuff, but always with that humour, you know, and that twist.
There must be a million outtakes that we've never seen. The cast, I mean, in the pub, or there must have been so many times where you all just corpsed at something Del or Rodney had done.
Oh, sure, yes. It's part of the show that I do. I mean, I tell a few of these stories about things that happened at particular times, and, you know, you could go on for days, you know, talking about it, but... We had a lot of fun. There were a lot of times when a producer had come down and threaten us all with a sack because we were mucking about so much, and laughing, because I just remember the read throughs particularly, you know, when you got the script, you know, and you read it and you thought, oh God, that's funny, and so on, and then you got the read through, and then you had David Jason or Nick Lindhurst or Roger Lloyd Pack sort of reading the part, you know, that for the first time you heard the sound of the lines, and it just was hilarious, you know. And the next thing was, how the hell are we going to get through this? You know, these scenes in the Nag's Head with all of us sitting around the table trying to score points off each other. As I say, we tried very hard to be professional about it, and I think just about got away with it. Yeah.
Right, so some of the classic scenes, John, involving yourself, obviously the poker scene, where Del risks everything in a poker game with yourself, and just when it looks like he's down and out, he plays you at your own game. That's one of the classic scenes, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I don't know what's happened. It's been a surge of interest about that, you know, when I'm talking to people after the show and so on, and signing me books. A lot more people mention that. I don't know if it's been out a lot recently or something. I know it's never off, really, the show. But it's a lot of people's favourite ever episode, that. And so I have quite a lot of conversations about poker. And and actually, over the weekend, I was talking to someone who actually is a professional poker player, you know. I thought, my God, that's a really brave thing to do. Well, for me, anyway. And we talked about it, and he loves it. And it's his being a professional poker player, he loves that episode more than any of the others.
He's probably better than Boise at it.
Yeah, yes.
What is your favourite scene? You don't have to be in it, but what is your favourite Only Fools and Horses scene?
Well, it's really difficult. I was involved in some wonderful stuff, you know. I suppose, really, personally, it's a bit selfish, you know, but I love the seance scene in Sickness and in Wealth, and there was a seance in a room above the Nag's Head, and Del Boy is trying to reach his mother for some reason. But Elsie Partridge came in and said there was a message from for somebody called Aubrey, and everybody looks around and goes, Aubrey, who's it? And then Boise finishes up going, I am here. And I just thought the way that was written and the camera work on it was just so brilliant, you know, because it circled the whole seance and then finished up above it and then sort of in for a close-up. I just thought, and the atmosphere of it was just brilliant. It was just, And then you found, then of course, then I had to live with the fact that everybody called me Aubrey. You know? but that was the power of it, you know. But I mean, the Batman and Robin sequence, you know, was just genius, I think. So many bits. It's very difficult to sort of pick one out as a favourite.
That's an absolutely brilliant one, isn't it? Brilliant TV, which well and truly stands the test of time. And, John, you talk about a lot of this in your stage show. So is it called Only Fools and Boise? Is that
it
right?
It is, yes. Yes, it is called that, yeah. That's right. Yeah, and I'm coming to... where am I
It's
coming
the Brindley, isn't it, in Halton?
Yeah, Runcorn on the 26th, the Brindley, on the 26th of March.
Yeah, that's the one.
Chester on March the 31st at the Forum there. And I don't know if you cover Oswald Street. Did you go that far south?
No, maybe just out. That's a bit of Shropshire, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just a little bit further than us, anyway, but definitely Runcorn and Chester.
Runcorn and Chester, that's right. Well, I'm looking forward to that because I've also had a great time up north, and particularly in Liverpool. They're very kind to me up there. But it's just great to meet people who've turned their tellies on and watched us over all these years, you know. And it's an evening of entertainment and stories, not only about Only Fools and Horses, but also the Green Green Grass, of course, Doctor Who, and all the ones you mentioned, and... And more recently, of course, Benidorm. I've just done the new series of Benidorm, and I'm trying to invent a new character called Monty there. But a lot of people in Benidorm still call me Boise.
Boise, you'll never get away from it, John.
No. Well, I'm so lucky to have been part of it. You know, you give your eye teeth for it when you're just starting off in the theatre. You know, because it means so much to people. You know, and makes people smile, as I say. So. So looking forward to meeting. The great thing about the show, as I say, after the show we do a bit of a Q&A, and then I come front of house, and if anybody wants to meet a dedicated book for them, you know, I have a couple of novels and plus the autobiography. I can have my picture taken. I can, and I can sign what people want. So, and it's great. It's really nice to meet people too.
You're so well spoken. I would imagine when people meet, do they say, "Go on, just give us a bit more Boise"?
Oh yes. I'm constantly having to, adjust. And of course, in Benidorm, he's a bit of a ducker and diver again, you know. But he talks very quickly, or supposedly. But so that's different again, you know. So, but then I've always been fascinated by voices. As I say, as a kid, I used to impersonate people, drive my parents mad. You know, because I couldn't stop copying people. I was fascinated by them.
John, wonderful to catch up with you, and best of luck with that tour. I'm sure it'll be absolutely packed out of those events.
Steve, I hope so. Yeah, it'd be great to meet. Great to see people out there.
Thank you very much indeed.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport, and talk for Liverpool.